There's got to be a better way to go. I spent one summer living in McKinney, Texas, which is just north of Dallas. And one day I was trying to get from one side of the town to the other, and the fastest way was down a very particular street, and so I began traveling. But I had a couple of other kids and another adult in my car, and he looked at me when he realized where we were going, and he said those words, "There's got to be a better way to go." Which then led to a conversation. Okay, this is the fastest, most direct route, so why shouldn't I go this way? But as he told me that day, it would take me through some really bad areas of town with some working-class minorities. And so he wanted to remind me I had kids in the car, and there has to be a better way to go. And these are the same words that are probably on the disciples' minds and lips as we come to John chapter 4. In John 4, we find Jesus wanting to travel from Jerusalem in the south to Galilee in the north. And the fastest way was a straight line through Samaria. The problem is, good Jews don't travel through Samaria. Jews and Samaritans hated each other. And so Jews would cross to the east side of the Jordan River and then travel up and then cut back over once they were past Samaria. And it's a detour that would add 3 days. But they thought, better to go that way than to be with the Samaritans. Yet when most Jews would have turned right, Jesus went straight on ahead. And he passed into Samaria, and he came to a small village called Sychar. And there he encountered the Samaritan woman at the well. Now most of us would have written her off as a hopeless case. She was hated by many in her own town and village for her history and her sin. She was hopeless and friendless, lost and lonely. But Jesus sat down and talked with her. He talked about life and faith. He told her about the living water that could be hers if only she would ask. And she becomes the very first person to hear Jesus say that he is the Messiah. And this brief encounter at the well becomes a holy moment and a time in which her life is forever changed. And I love the way that John describes this moment in verse 27. Just then the disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" Or, "Why are you talking with her?" But we have to imagine, because John is one of the disciples, and because he records these words, these are the words that are running through his mind. These are John's own thoughts as this is taking place. "What are you doing with her? She isn't anything like us. She's a Samaritan and she's sinful." But they've been with Jesus long enough to know maybe we should move on to a different topic. So they do. They decide they want to get Jesus to eat something. That's safe. That's neutral. But Jesus calls them to a spiritual view of this encounter. And listen to his words here. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Jesus calls them back around from the mundane to mission, to do God's will and to help others come to know him. And then Jesus calls them to understand what is truly going on. The very next verse is this. "Do you not say, 'There are 4 more months, then comes the harvest?' But look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for the harvest." Jesus knows that they're hesitant to be in Samaria. If they have to pass this way, they would like to do it as quickly as possible with as few interruptions as are necessary. They don't like Samaritans. They aren't comfortable. These people aren't like us. They don't like us, and we don't like them. But Jesus challenges them to open their eyes and to realize what's going on around them. The harvest is right here. Look around you. Don't you see? These people are yearning for God. The very people you would write off are the people that God is bringing in. The fields are white for the harvest. We just have to have a little perspective. And the story flows in line with the scripture from the sermon series, the one that Dan read just a minute ago from Matthew chapter 9, a synopsis of Jesus' life and ministry in Galilee. As Jesus goes throughout all the cities and villages, teaching, proclaiming, and healing, and he begins to see what's around him. And I want us to focus in on verse 36. "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, for they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." But what I love is the word here, saw. He noticed their need. He saw their situation. And then he called the disciples' attention to it. And the situation is the same as what we find in John chapter 4. He tells them to see what is actually here, to open their eyes to the reality. And then he tells them to see what might be. In spite of the fact that these people are harassed and helpless, they're leaderless and lost, Jesus sees possibilities. The harvest is plentiful. See what is really here, he tells them, and then see what might be. Today we have Paul Woodward here with us. Paul is one of the ministers at the Impact Congregation, and I've asked him to come and talk to us about his work and the amazing things that they're doing there and how he can help us see a little bit differently our city in a new light. So Paul, go ahead and come on up. And I just want to pray over Paul, and then it's all his from here. Let's bow. Dear God, we thank you. We thank you, you're a God who sees us as we truly are and sees what might be. God, we thank you that you work in amazing ways. Father, I thank you for Paul and all those who minister at Impact, for the great stories of life and faith and transformation and hope and healing, and also the stories that are still working to get there. God, I pray you will work mighty and powerful things through him and through the others who work with him. Father, fill him up, encourage him, lift him up when he feels down and defeated, and Father, help him to know that you are always ministering with him and through him. Bless Paul and his work. Bless him as he speaks to us today, and help our hearts and our lives and our minds be touched by his words. We pray all this because of Jesus. Amen.
Morning. My heart is filled with enthusiasm, joy, gratitude. My heart is filled with enthusiasm and joy because I have the opportunity to be here with you this morning and share a little bit about what God is doing. I'm excited this morning to be here. Ryan, the thing with the kids is great. It's that emphasis, the joy and all that was really good. I'm excited about Roy and Daniel and Jay and these young leaders here who are doing so many important things. Roy orchestrated an event where some people came to Impact and we had a good little visit. So I'm encouraged and optimistic and joy-filled. And my heart is full of gratitude for so many reasons. One of them is people here that have individually tried to help and participate in the work at Impact. My heart is filled with gratitude because of this congregation supports me in the work that I'm doing at Impact. So just a lot of optimism, a lot of joy and encouragement this morning, and I'm grateful to be here. Now, Daniel did tell me, he said, I got about an hour. Is that right? I mean, the Texans aren't winning anyway, so, you know, what are we going to do? Go to Luby's later or something? No, we'll respect the time. I do want to share about what's going on at Impact, and I thought I'd just for a minute, just the thumbnail sketch. We're at the intersection of 45 and I-10, kind of on the northwest corner of downtown. We're about a third brown, black, and white, very diverse in every way that diversity could be. We are that. Impact is a ministry of the Churches of Christ. Impact is enabled by Houston area churches and beyond, Houston area Jesus followers that enable us to do what we do. So it is a ministry of the Churches of Christ and something to feel very good about. Lots of good things are going on. Impact has existed for 28 years or 336 months. And I say months because we sort of make it month to month. We eke out an existence and go from month to month. But it's a tremendous testimony to the power of God, to his faithfulness, to his provision, that for all these 28 years, Impact has been able to exist. The thrust and sort of mission of Impact is to reach out directly to hurting, wounded, desperate, lonely people. And there are multitudes of those people around us. And so we want to not just receive them, but go seek and search out people that are hurting. There's an epidemic of loneliness in our city and all sorts of other things. And so we want to go seek and search those people. I'm going to show a video. It's only 2 minutes. It's kind of an Impact promotional video. So you'll have to put up with a little bit of that, but it does capture some of the things that we're involved with. So Doug, if you would, go ahead and show that. Doug, before you do, one thing real quick, the Deloney family, I get to work with Jim and Pat. Love them. So thankful for being able to spend time with Jim every day. Faithful, tireless workers, him and Pat, and of course, their son and daughter-in-law here. So, Doug, if you would, go ahead and play that. It's 2 minutes.
Well, I feel good this morning.
Impact is the church I always dreamed of being at.
We have a lot of things going on. You can start with the distribution center, giving food and clothing to needy families. We have the recovery house right across the street.
We have the recovery house. We have the transition house.
You got Liberty Island.
Liberty Island on Monday nights. We have the big garage sale.
We have the garage sale.
Your lunch every Sunday.
Providing a meal for our homeless.
We feed the outdoorsmen on Mondays and Wednesdays, which I think is very, very good and helpful for them. Tuesday mornings, we have the family day.
High school classes Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Pretty sure it's more than one or two times a week.
Tuesday night classes.
Wednesday night Bible class.
We go on Thursday nights.
I think it's Thursday night at Independence Hall.
Vacation Bible school every summer.
Pumping out VBS 16 weeks out of the summer where kids are coming from across the city.
Field trips.
Oh, it's Monday. No, it's...
Last Thursday of every month,
we just have a great time.
There's just so many people at Impact that they just give it all, and they're there every week. The feeling of being at the right church, being just accepted, everybody being accepted.
Impact that has molded me and shaped me and is helping me become the person I really hope God wants me to be.
I don't know what else to say. I just love it so much.
All right, there it is.
So, had a little something there at the end of it, but regardless of that, the point of sharing that is that there is a lot going on, and so I thought I'd sort of talk about a little bit of that just now. It's humbling, the things that God enables us to do there. All glory and honor goes to God. All good things that happen there are because of God and Him alone. One of the ministries that we're involved with is there's day services for people that live outside, so they can come and wash their clothes, take a shower, get some food, get out of the weather, have a Bible study, and so forth. And one of the things that we're doing is surveying that group of folks so that we can find some who are sincere about getting better, and then we're able to move them into the Life House, which is a residential addiction recovery. One of the guys that first started coming to Impact, and he was only interested in food and coming there just to get whatever he could get. He openly would say that when he first came, and then he would talk about it later. But over time, he fell in love with Jesus, fell in love with the people there, gave his life to Christ. And he sort of became an expert on Romans. It was his favorite letter, and he would study it a lot and really kind of an amateur expert about Romans. I wish he could share with us today about that. He got very sick, and he died. And when they have a cemetery for people that live outside on the east side. And what they do there is for the indigent, and what they do there is they say, okay, we're going to bury this person during this two-hour window on a Friday. So you can come out there, and then they tell you when they're about to bury that particular person, and they give you 15 minutes. So we were out on a Friday. He was going to be buried between 10 and 12, and so we went out there, and when they told us that it was his time, we went and did a little service there by his grave, some singing and praying and read some scripture. And when we finished, one of the people out there came up to some of us and said, they have a special situation. Would we mind helping? And we said, of course. And so he directed us over to this area. And I started getting panicking a little bit because they had this, it was like a concrete inlay in the ground. And I started noticing every one of them were children. The markings were for children. So we're waiting there for a minute. And this man comes out of the building and he's got a blue box. It's about this big and it's blue. And I said, oh my word, what is this? Could it be, is this what I think it is? Well, it was. It was a little boy who was all alone, who had nobody there for him. And so we did a little service there. We prayed and we sung and we talked to God and read some scripture. And I was really quiet all the rest of that day, with just quiet with imaginings about what sort of circumstances would have led to this boy being in that box at that cemetery. And I share that because this is the heart of Jesus. This is the heart of the work that we are trying to do, is be there in those situations for people who are all alone, who are hurting and wounded. Young people comprise a humongous part of the work at Impact. Children, young adults, young people is where we put a lot of emphasis. I wish I could tell this story good. There's a lot of moving parts, and I'll try to tell it in a coherent fashion. But thinking about young people, I think I'll start at the end and then go back. And I'll call this young lady Mary. She's 24. Mary she graduated from Texas A&M, and she's now in the UT School of Public Health. She's was able to do that partly because of the scholarship program at Impact. And Mary is a joyful, bubbly personality, so engaging, and you would never imagine where she'd come from. From the UT School of Public Health, she's doing an internship at Texas Children's. Well, that's not the first time that she has been at Texas Children's. And so I'll go back to the beginning. When she was 7 months old, her grandmother took possession of her and immediately took her to Texas Children's. And she was in such bad shape that they immediately arrested the grandmother. Well, the grandmother got her because her mother, who was 18, along with a 17-year-old and three 15-year-olds, had a gang double murdered two people. And when the FBI and the local police arrested the mother, she was close by. And so the grandmother took Mary and then went to Texas Children's and so on. Mary grew up in a housing project that is violent. It's drug infested. There's a lot of negative influences there. And Impact does a ministry there, an outreach program there, and is real active, and we still are doing the same thing. But that's how we first contacted Mary. You could never imagine that this young lady, if you met her, you would never imagine what she's gone through in her life. And it's a powerful testimony that God is real, and He heals people, and He loves people, and He's there. And so Mary grew up in this situation. She went through all kinds of things, and she did get the school done. Well, about a year ago, she received some correspondence from the Department of Corrections that her mother was terminally ill with breast cancer. Mary, through her whole life, from 7 months until a year ago, had seen her mother twice on visits, But her mother was in a maximum security prison, and then she had even more stringent control because she had orchestrated a large-scale deadly prison riot. So just this, you know, all these restrictions on her. Well, Mary was super torn on how what to do about this and all, and so she and I went to, they have in Galveston this facility for maximum security terminal inmates. And we went there, and it's not a welcoming place. It's a gritty, tough place. And I almost ended up arrested because I had gone in with her, and when the man was about to search me, it said, if you come in here with your cell phone, it's a Class A felony. And so he's about to search me. I'm kind of freaking out at this point because they don't play there. And so I took my phone out, told him I had it, and he thought about what he was going to do to me, and then he just said, get out. So I went and stayed outside the rest of the time. But Mary went in to see her mom. And when she did, a guard stood right by the mom who was in the bed and right by her and wouldn't let them touch or exchange any paper or note or anything. They weren't allowed to do that. And so Mary came back out and we drove back to Houston, and she just was so torn up about what is this situation. And her mother did pass about a month ago. This is the heart of Jesus. Being there for those people in those situations, this is the heart, this is my heart. This is what makes me go. This is why I'm involved in that ministry at Impact. These are the people that we have the opportunity to reach out to. Let me share a couple of verses and then I'll quit. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it includes this phrase that Jesus went around doing good. Jesus went around doing good. And in Titus chapter 2, it includes this teaching that we are to conduct ourselves in such a way that it makes the teachings about God our Savior attractive. When we invest ourselves into people, when we build value into lives of people around us, we are going around doing good. When we offer the gift of our presence into the lives of others, we are making the teachings about God our Savior attractive. We have so many opportunities to serve in our families, in our neighborhood, around here, and even at Impact. And I want to urge you to go around doing good. When we do that, God is well pleased with how we conduct our lives. Sometimes we make this real complicated, and I think we make a mistake when we do. Jesus went around doing good. We are Jesus followers, and we are called to go around doing good. And it will make our faith more attractive to people around us when we're serving people. At Impact, if I can ever be of service, we have many opportunities. Every day there's things going on. Every evening there's things going on. Any way that I could interact with you and serve you, you call on me, I will come running, I promise. We want to be useful to folk. And so any way that we can do that, please call on us. Let us know how we can be of service. I'd like to end with a word of prayer and then turn it back to Daniel. Let us pray, please. Dear God, thank you so much for this time, and I thank you for this opportunity to talk about your work and about what you're doing. Father, please be with us as we consider how we might go around doing good, how we might serve people around us, how we might see. Father, please give us eyes to see opportunities that are all around us, for we love you, and we pray that you would be well pleased with how we conduct ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Most amazing parts of the story is that Jesus looks at this crowd and he sees what can be. And what I love what Impact does is they look at our city and they see what is and also what can be. And so there are amazing stories of transformation and love that are taking place every day there. And that's a story that each one of us can participate in. that God takes us where we are and yet sees what he can, what we can be with the blood of his Son. And then he calls us to do good, to do the same for others, and to let that be lived out in our lives. This is our time of invitation. If there's any way we can help you today, if there's any way we can bless you, anything we can pray for and encourage you in, that's why this time is here. We invite you to come to the front as we sing together, or find one of us afterwards and just tell about what's going on in your life. So let's have that moment now.
I have decided.